Again, welcome to the sixth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. As always, the days go by quickly. It is an honor to be with you today to share another sermon on the coming of the kingdom of God. In preparing this sermon, I did some research on spices, and I found that some spices, I am not trying to block you because after a while my eyes hurt, because of the artificial lights and I have to lower them. I have found that some spices have wonderful medicinal qualities, while other spices can be harmful to your health, to our health if abused. Imagine, for example, you will be surprised to learn that nutmeg has the ability to flavor food, but it can also be a poison if used too often or in large quantities. It really left me surprised. Satan has a spice that works a bit like nutmeg. It is a spice that can be very poisonous, but even in small amounts. It is known by various names, yet the effects are always the same. It is a spice that Satan gives freely and in large quantities. It is a spice that human beings eat in large quantities every day, and it seems to taste very good. The spice has many names. We know it as love for oneself, self-centeredness, narcissism, or simply selfishness. Selfishness abounds in every corner of the earth. There's no place on the face of the earth where there is a people that does not suffer from selfishness. It is present in almost every human relationship. Its author is a being who hates humanity and freely gives this spice to all human beings, and human beings willingly accept it, and they eat it every day. It is a poisonous spice that destroys human relationships and causes war and chaos throughout the world. But in this world, you have to be careful because there is a kind of love that is not true love. Does it appear to be love? It is not true love. There are many in our world who are experts at demonstrating a kind of love that seems to be true. And it takes years to see that, in fact, was a false love. We have all seen this. We have all experienced this. Everyone. And if you have not experienced it, you will experience it. Often these people deceive, and only years later do you realize that it was a contrafactual love. What are the characteristics of this contrafactual love? The characteristics are different. Sometimes I have to turn it up because otherwise I fall asleep because it is too dark. Then I do so and so, so and so. Now I have to wake up. What are the characteristics of this contrafactual love? The characteristics are different. It is the love, first of all, that is not sincere. The love that is not sincere. Does it appear to be sincere? There are people who make you feel loved, but they are actors. Have you ever met people who are perfect actors? Perfect actors. It is also love that depends on love received. You have given me, I give you. In Italian, we say one hand washes the other. It is love that is unstable. Unstable. One day you feel loved, one day you feel hated. The person in the office one day seems to be so loving, so good. The next day he becomes a monster. That's the weak love. Does it seem to be there? Maybe. But does it seem to be there? Maybe. And then there is the love that is short-lived. Short-lived. It looks like fire. And then it fades away. There are many manifestations of this kind of false love. The love of the world is often a counterfeit. The results are too often painful and delusions. It is much, much depression. Having worked in the field of counseling, mental health, for so many years, I have dealt with so many people who were almost destroyed by this kind of love. Why were they giving so much trust to a person? The person seemed to be trustworthy. And then all of a sudden they change and vanish. Destructive people who create a lot of disappointment and a lot of depression. All of us have experienced this kind of contrafactual love. Some have been hurt by it or even destroyed by it. Yet, human beings hope. Human beings want to believe that there is someone out there who is genuine. One person who is genuine, who loves for the right reasons. One of our past leaders, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, had a very simple way of describing the central philosophy of Satan's world, the way of taking. Simple, very powerful, very descriptive, the way of the taking. The way of taking is Satan's gift to a humanity that has chosen to serve him as their God. Paradoxically, the world wants, craves, true love. It is a paradox. On the one hand, it hesitates to give true love, but on the other hand, he wants true love. Every human being on earth is so much in need of genuine love. One of the most influential psychologists of the last century, an American, Abraham Maslow, clearly established that human beings have basic needs and that one of these basic needs is the need to be loved. To be loved. Yet, even though the world yearns for love, normally, frequently and abundantly, dispenses lack of love, or false love, or simply hatred. But what does this have to do with the kingdom of God? A great deal. Very much. Let us begin with the name of the kingdom that we desire, that we celebrate here in these days. The kingdom of God. But who is God? One of the most reassuring definitions and deepest definitions of God and his fundamental essence is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, where we read wonderful words, marvelous, reassuring. God, love. What wonderful words. Doesn't it say God is power? And he is. God is wisdom, and he is.
God is love.
But what kind of love?
Certainly not a hypocritical love.
Unreliable, tenuous, and short-lived. It is the special kind of love we know as agape, a Greek word that Christianity adopted to refer to divine love. God is agape. True agape is the kind of love that can emanate only from Him. By carefully analyzing this term and looking at the biblical definition of agape, we find that it encompasses two dimensions. The first is obedience to God's laws. I will leave you for a while. The first is obedience to God's laws. As we read in 1 John 5:3, this is agape, that we keep His commandments. Those who have abandoned the Ten Commandments and say, well, we love, but how can one love without obeying the Ten Commandments? Possible. But agape is also the attitudes of agape described in 1 Corinthians 13, known as the chapter on love. God's agape is not a product of the human mind. As we well know, it is a fruit of the Spirit of God, as we see in Galatians BP. The Holy Spirit will abound in the kingdom of God, and so will the agape of God. Now let us take a look at some of the ingredients that will make up God's special kind, that is agape. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. This wine is excellent. It is not wine. Love is patient and benevolent. Love does not envy. Love does not boast or puff itself up. It does not behave improperly. It does not seek its own interest. It does not seek its own interest. In the world, everyone seeks his own interest. I do this for you, but what can I get out of it? I do this favor for you, but in the future, you will have to do another one for me. One does, in order in the future to receive something. The agape of God does not seek its own interest. In God's kingdom, human beings will not be self-centered and saturated with self-love. God's kingdom, the kingdom of agape, will be totally saturated with selflessness and a spirit of service to
others. Previously,
I spoke about the need that human beings have to receive true love and the fact that most of human beings have instead repeatedly received disappointing and false love. At the beginning of the kingdom, human beings will not trust their new rulers. At the beginning of the kingdom, the people of the world will not trust either our God, nor to Jesus Christ, nor to us.
They will not trust us.
Do you believe that the Hindus will give confidence to this God of Israel? Do you really believe that Muslims will put their trust to the true God, not to their God? Do you really believe that atheists will put their trust to us? The nations of the world at first will understandably be wary toward us. In time, however, every human being, after months, will pass for some, years for others. Human beings will have the opportunity to finally be blessed with a very special moment.
A very special moment that all human beings long for.
What is this special moment? What is this special moment? Think about it for a moment. What is the special moment that all human beings yearn for? It is the moment when human beings will be totally convinced of the fact that the love they will receive from their new God, from their new Lord, and from us, his children, will be a sincere and lasting love. When human beings, for the first time, will be so certain that there is true love. And this true love has been brought to us by Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and their children. For the first time, they will be able to have complete certainty that true love exists. Ecstasy. Ecstasy. It will be a moment of ecstasy. At the beginning of the kingdom of God, the nations of the world will watch us closely, and they will evaluate us. At the beginning, we will be under evaluation. They will watch us. The people of Africa, the people of Asia, the Japanese, the Chinese, they will look at us very closely. But who are these beings? They tell us that things are going to be very good from now on. Are they? And who are you people? And who are you? They will see supernatural beings who will seem reassuring, who will promise peace and security, who will promise them that wonderful things are about to happen, who will promise true love. These kinds of promises have been made by all the selfish and manipulative leaders and politicians who have led it in the past. You do beautiful things, miracles well, and what will you do tomorrow? What are you going to do next year? With all this power that you have, how do I know that a year from now you will not change your mind and destroy everyone? It is valid. It is valid. In their minds, they will ask the question, can these beings really be trusted? Then does it really matter to us as it seems to? In time, will they fail us as so many others have done? In time, as days, months, years go by, will they see without a shadow of a doubt that this new God, Jesus Christ, and the children of God, you, truly love. But they love with true love. For the first time, they will experience something they have never experienced before. God's wonderful agape. And what kind of love will it be? It will be the love characterized by the special characteristics described above. It will be the love that is sincere, abundant, and enduring. It will be sincere love. It will not be the kind of fake love framed by ulterior motives. It will be abundant love. So abundant that no human being will ever be able to match it. Finally, it will be love that will never end. These beings truly do not change. They love, and they continue to love. 6 months have passed, and they have not changed. A year has passed. They are the same. And it will be a love that is totally reliable, like a spring that flows without end. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14. This chapter is about Israel and the world by extension. Before Israel, however, by extension, it speaks of the whole world. God says, I will shepherd them in good pasture. Their flock will be in the high mountains of Israel. There they will lie down in a good ville, and they will graze in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will shepherd my flock and make them lie down, says the Lord Eternal. I will seek what was lost, and I will reduce that which was rejected. I will make the afflicted ones, and I will strengthen what was sick. This is God's mission statement toward Israel first, but also toward humanity in the second place. Everything he will do for Israel, he will do for the whole world. And this will also be our mission. To feed, protect, bind, and strengthen. In short, to love with abundant love, not our own, but the love that comes from God. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4, describes our labor of love in those wonderful days. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4. This speaks of us. This verse speaks of us. I will establish shepherds over them who will shepherd them, who will love them, truly will love them, and they will no longer fear. They will not be dismayed, and they will not lack more, says the Eternal. The people of the world will no longer fear. They will never again be afraid of being betrayed, of being manipulated, of being used, of being abandoned, of having their trust trampled on. We will feed them not only physical food, we will also feed them psychologically, spiritually. We will feed them with knowledge that will free them from destructive myths. In this land, there are so many destructive myths, as in so many other nations of the world. We will nourish them with pure love. They will feel valued. They will feel special, because everything we give them will be sincere, abundant, and without end. Let us read more about our labor of love in the kingdom of God in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. Again, we will see that it speaks of us. Behold, a king shall reign with righteousness, Isaiah 32, verse 1. And the rulers, you and I, we will rule with justice. Each one of God's children shall be as a shelter from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in the desert, and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. We will govern them with justice and equity. We will be a shelter from the winds and storms of life. We will be a source of continuous and reassuring help. We shall not give humanity with pure love, not false, not diluted, but abundant and reliable. The last part of the chapter is particularly inspiring, very inspiring. These are beautiful words. We will be like streams of water in the desert. Streams, like streams of water in the desert. We will be like the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. The shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. We will be like the water that brings life to a parched and lifeless land. We will be like the shadow of a great rock that offers protection from the deadly heat of the day. All this will be what human beings will finally understand and be totally certain of in God's realm of love. And this extraordinary certainty will lead to a wonderful mental healing that so many long for, that so many need. I don't think there is a person on the face of the earth who doesn't have at least one mental wound. I don't think there is. That is Satan's gift to the world. We have all been in some way affected in a negative way. There is something in all of us that needs healing. I saw this painful reality many years ago when I worked in the mental health field for several years. There are people who have been damaged mentally beyond belief by relatives, by close relatives. My ears have heard stories that no ear should hear. Stories that I will never repeat. That I have never even mentioned to my wife. I have never dared to tell certain stories to my wife because they are so terrible, so unimaginable, that she would pollute her mind as my mind has been polluted, just hearing them. Excuse me for a moment here in my passion. Here it is. But there will come the day when those wounds will be healed. Those people that I could not help them because the wounds were beyond what I could offer. I could not help them. I prayed for them. I prayed a lot for them. But there are people who are beyond human help. Only the Almighty can help them. There are people in our world who will only be healed by Almighty God. For them, unfortunately, there is no other hope. In the kingdom of God, the agape, poured out in great quantities by sincerely loving ones, will be a very effective medicine, like nothing carnal human beings could ever offer. The billions of wounded human minds which have been damaged by Satan and his work on earth will enter into a healing therapy that is not based on psychology, not based on psychiatry, but on agape therapy. This will be the therapy of the future. Agape therapy is a kind of therapy that human beings cannot even begin to imagine, but which is highly effective. Let us now turn to another prophecy concerning those days filled of agape, full of love, Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. In that day, it will be said, behold, this is our God. That special moment that I mentioned to you earlier is the moment when they will say, yes, this is the God we want. Yes, this is the true God. Yes, we want him to be our God. And they will cry out, this is our God. We have been waiting for him, and he will save us. He will save us. Total trust in this God who will give proof, irrefutable, that this time, this is the true God. This is the eternal one. We have been waiting for him. We will rejoice and rejoice in his salvation. The world will finally fully understand that the God of love is totally trustworthy, that his love, which is totally trustworthy, will not disappear, and that they will finally be able to rejoice in his salvation eternally. The point will come when humanity will exult with great joy that the God of love is finally in their midst and that his love will finally reign supreme throughout the world.
And they will also rejoice,
also in the absolute certainty that his children are like the Father. That his children, you, are in his image and likeness, full of sincere love,
which has no end.
That the children are like the Father. That the many children are like the Father. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing.
As we continue to celebrate God's feast, let us reflect once again on that glorious reign of love. Let us look forward with certainty to a new flavored world, not with the deceptive and dangerous species of Satan's selfishness, which invariably causes disappointment, sorrow and depression, but with a special divine species that will flavor the world with a love that is real, abundant, and that will never end.